It is certainly great to see everybody today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. I am so encouraged by your presence, by the way you've sung out, and by the way we've been able to gather around and George directed our minds in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I do want to start this morning by saying thank you to Justin, who did a phenomenal job of preaching to us last week while we were out on vacation. And I do hope and pray that if you thought about that sermon during this past week and you feel like you've been stuck, that today you're going to surrender that to our Lord. And I appreciate Justin and Jason. I just love those guys and thankful to work alongside them and all of our elders here. We've also been blessed to have great interns with us this summer, and certainly Courtney was able to do things with our ladies and be able to help them this summer. But also we've had Jack Webb with us this whole summer as well, and Jack has been also doing a great job, but today is his last day with us. And so Jack, we appreciate you, and we want you to stand up one more time right here. So thank you, Jack, for being a part of us. Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. We hope that we didn't run you off too far from Azalea City. Also have some good news to... That's not good news. It was good news to have Jack, but not good news that he's leaving. But I have some good news to share along the way. Today, for the very first time, is my buddy Riley Sherman. He is here, and Riley's got a nice head full of hair, and he's going to make his way on up with Daddy Cody right here, and... I didn't get to hold him in the hospital. I got to see him. But today will be my first time being able to hold him. So get to do it in front of all of you. Look at this good-looking young man. Really, he's my great-nephew now, you know. Look at there. Look at that. We're very proud of Cody and Brittany and big brother Noah back there. And I see you, Noah. Got a nice haircut, too, buddy. And anyhow, so handsome, so proud of you guys. We're going to keep praying for y'all, and if y'all need us, you let us know, okay? Sweet, sweet. Sweet, sweet. Then I have some other good news today. A man who recently had surgery on his foot, but he's here today. He and his wife, two pillars of the church in this area, have decided they want to worship with the Azalea City Church of Christ. I am so thankful for this couple. I'm so thankful for their leadership. I've known them a long time. Plus, they have two wonderful children. One of them I worshiped with last Sunday, and the other one I get to worship with every Sunday, but we're thankful for Danny and Lisa Irwin. They're placing membership with us today. Danny and Lisa, if you'll let us know you're back there, you can. There you go. All right, so get to know them. We love them. We appreciate them. We're excited about that. Welcome to Azalea City officially. Also have some news to our men. If you're a man, I'm proud of you, but I'm going to challenge you. Okay, I'm a man, and I'm going to challenge me. Justin Barnes, myself, let me say it this way, that's not proper English. Justin Barnes, Scott Glover, and myself are going to be starting up a men's ministry. Uh-huh, ladies, you think you're the only ones. But we men, we're going to be getting together. We'll make more announcements about this. It's in the very early process, but it's something that's very important. The way we're looking at it right now is we're going to be meeting some on Mondays and call that Manly Monday. You like how that works? And but we'll be talking about some. But Justin and I will also, and Scott, will figure out a way that we can live stream, not live stream it, but record it and put it on a private YouTube channel or whatever. That doesn't mean we don't want you to come. But we'll make more announcements about it. But it's going to be biblically trying to be men the way God wants us to be. And so I think that's real important. And I think it's important for us to be intimate with one another, to be able to share and to talk and to grow, and especially to get our men just excited about the work and excited about being what we need to be. So be praying about that for us, and that'll be more announcements made in the very near future. So listen out for that as well. Today I'm going to continue a lesson I started 2 weeks ago, or a series of lessons I started 2 weeks ago. And it's over talking about killing the giants in our lives, slaying the giants, overcoming the giants. This year, as we say just about each and every week, our theme is renew. And we want to be renewed. We want to be on fire for Jesus Christ. You know, I was able to go to Gulf Shores, Alabama. I've not been a huge beach person, but I had my family with me. And there was not a lot of craziness around us. The water was pretty calm. I did not get any flesh-eating bacteria, and I'm thankful for that. But the waves, we could go out, and there were no jellyfish or anything. And so I was out watching my children swim a lot or get on one of those boogie board things or whatever, just to try to make sure, you know, keep an extra set of eyes on them. But I spent a lot of time just in the water, the waves hitting me, looking out, talking to Bo about how amazing it is that God, you know, just seeing God and all that, but then thinking about what I need to be as a minister. And folks, I just want you to know, I'm recharged. We've got just a few months left this year, and I'm renewed. And I want you to know I'm trying to be what God wants me to be. But in order to do that, sometimes we got to kill some giants in our lives. Sometimes we got to slay some. Sometimes we got to get rid of them. And the one I want to talk about today is a big one. Even though they've got a little G, okay, these gods have a little G, they're huge. And some of us right now, the reason we haven't reached our renewed potential in our walk with Jesus Christ is because we have little gods in our lives. And I want you to know that this sermon is something that we all can take out of it. And so I want you to know that it's been a lot of prayer goes into this. It's amazing when you come up with a topic. In my own personal Bible study, I was reading through some of the minor prophets again, and man, just things leapt out at me, and that really is good. It wrote the points. I changed the points in this sermon to biblically points just from our minor prophets that I think we can. It's just so full, the Bible is, especially the Old Testament, of killing false gods, getting them out of our lives. Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. Number one, no other gods before me, while Aaron was leading a charge down below on the mountain to build a golden calf. You see, anytime we're away from God, Satan slithers right in, doesn't he? Satan can get a footstep in the door, right in the middle of paradise, in the middle of the garden, where it's all beautiful, and there's only Adam, and there's only Eve, and there's all this that God's created. Satan slithers his way right in. And he'll do that with us. If we are 40 seconds away from God, 40 minutes away from God, or 40 days away from God, the devil will have a field day with it. And we've got to make sure that we are slaying those idols in our lives. The giant says, okay, I put Andre the Giant on there for those who need to know, but anyhow, maybe you'll remember it. The giant says, and this is what the false god will say, this is what the tempter will say, this is what the devil will say, hey, I'm not sure God can get rid of this. Whatever you're struggling with in your life, think about it right now. You've been struggling with it a while. You've had things going on that have gotten in the way of you and God. You've had things going on that's gotten in the way of personal Bible study, that's gotten in the way of prayer time, that's gotten in the way of family devotion time. Whatever it is right now, and you're struggling and you're battling and you've got that thorn in the flesh, and you're trying to say, I need to get rid of it, but the giant, the false god, the tempter, Satan in your life is saying, hey, God can't get rid of this. God can't get rid of it. The giant will also say, don't worry, you can handle this. You can balance both of these. You're able to say, hey, whatever it is, whatever my problem is, whatever my struggle is, whatever, and it may seem good, and it may be good, but it just comes in the way of God and myself. You know, the devil is saying, or the giant in your life is saying, don't worry, hey, you can handle this. You can balance both of them. Well, Bo read to us a minute ago from Matthew 6, verse 24 that says, no one can serve two masters. Now, in that context, it's talking about money. By the way, money is still a problem today. The love of it, by the way. And so you think about that scripture that Jesus said 2,000 years ago, no one can serve two masters. Well, guess what? We can't today. You cannot serve God and your false god. You can't balance them. So we got to slay the false god and open the doors to the God. And then he'll also say, everyone has struggles. Everyone has struggles. So it's okay to struggle with this. And by the way, everybody does have struggles. We do. But you know what? We don't have to. We don't have to hold on to it today. We don't have to just hold on to what we're battling or what's coming in between us and God. Everyone does have struggles, but the devil wants you to think you can hold on to it and keep it and all that. But here's what Jesus Christ said. He said, no. He said, I didn't come so that you'd have struggles. He said, I came that you, as he says here, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they, that's you, that's me, may have life. And they may have it more abundantly. Nowhere in that scripture did Jesus say, I want you to come and have, I came so that you can have misery. I came so that you can be miserable. I came so that you could struggle. I came so that you can have all these other things that get in the way of you and God. That's not what he says. He says, I came so that I could kill those giants in your life. But you know what? We got to do some things in order to do it. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings 23. Boy, I love Josiah. I don't know if you've studied much Old Testament kingdom history lately, but let me just give you some Cliff Notes version. There were three kings over, well, technically four for a little while. Three kings over the United Kingdom of Israel, right? You had King Saul, and then it was going to, lineage was going to come, maybe Jonathan and others would have been king, but that was taken away from him. And so God anointed David. We talked about David 2 weeks ago. Remember, David goes and slays Goliath. We said, don't picture yourself as David, but picture David as Jesus Christ. Jesus is fighting the battles for you if we will allow him to. So, we talked about David. David then had Solomon. Solomon had Rehoboam. Rehoboam said, hey, we're not going to listen to the wise people of the city. We're going to tax the daylights out of all these people, even more than my father did. And so that caused the kingdom to divide. Well, you had Judah and you had Israel. And both of them had kings that were awful. Awful, awful, awful. But it started with Solomon, believe it or not. Now, I believe Solomon got his life right at the end of his life. I really do. Ecclesiastes, it sounds like he's figured things out in his life. But for a long time, he did not. He allowed women. And the very first person that he makes a mistake with is Pharaoh's daughter. By the way, Egypt comes back to haunt them later. But you remember they were in bondage. He marries Pharaoh's daughter and things. And he just starts building these high places to gods like Ashtoreth. You know who Ashtoreth was? She was the sex goddess, if you will. The fertility goddess. And so there were a lot of vile things. And Moloch. You know Moloch? You know what kind of god he was? He was a god that people would sacrifice their infants, their babies, their boys and their girls, and they loved Moloch so much, and they would go and sacrifice them to this god. And Solomon glorified it. He raised it up, and so all these false gods are all over God's people. But then along comes Josiah. And Josiah is a great king. Josiah does great things. Pick up with me 2 Kings 23 and verse 8. You want to know what we've got to do to slay the gods, the false gods in our life? Listen to what Josiah did. Josiah brought to Jerusalem all the priests who were living in other towns of Judah. He also defiled the pagan shrines. Now, you'll hear that word defiled sometimes with God. He defiled everything God. But this is a good thing. He defiled these pagan shrines where they had offered sacrifices all the way from Geba to Beersheba. He destroyed the shrines at the entrance to the gate of Joshua, the governor of Jerusalem. This gate was located to the left of the city gate as one enters the city. The priests who had served at the pagan shrines were not allowed to serve at the Lord's altar in Jerusalem, but they were allowed to eat unleavened bread with the other priests. Verse 10 now. Then the king defiled the altar of Topheth in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. so no one could ever use it to sacrifice a son or daughter in the fire as an offering to Molech. You see what he did? He said, uh-uh. He said, I'm not just destroying Molech, I'm destroying the altar. I want it gone. I'm annihilating it. Verse 11, he removed from the entrance of the Lord's temple the horse statues that the former kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun. They were near the quarters of Nathan-Melech, the eunuch and officer of the court. The king also burned the chariots dedicated to the sun. Not only destroy them, now he burned them. Okay? So he's gotten rid of the altar to Melech. He's gotten rid of the horse, to the chariots and the altar to the altar to, for the sun. Verse 12, Josiah tore down the altars that the kings of Judah had built on the palace roof above the upper room of Ahaz. You know what went on in upper rooms? Typically you went up there to pray. And so now they built this palace roof above that. The king destroyed the altars that Manasseh had built in the two courtyards of the Lord's temple. He smashed them to bits and scattered the pieces in the Kidron Valley. The king also desecrated the pagan shrines east of Jerusalem to the south of the Mount of Corruption, where King Solomon of Israel had built shrines for Ashtoreth, the detestable goddess of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the detestable god of the Moabites, and for Molech, the vile god of the Ammonites. Again, all this started with Solomon. He smashed, this is what Josiah did, he smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. Then he desecrated these places by scattering human bones over them. The king also tore down the altar at Bethel, the pagan shrine that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had made when he caused Israel to sin. He burned down the shrine and ground it to dust. He burned the Asherah pole. Then Josiah turned around and noticed several tombs in the side of the hill. He ordered that the bones be brought out, and he burned them on the altar at Bethel to desecrate it. This happened just as the Lord had promised to the man of God when Jeroboam stood beside the altar at the festival. Wow. That's strong. Thank God for Josiah. Josiah said, we're getting Israel, we're getting Judah back. Now, it didn't stay that way. But Josiah was a great guy. He was a great king. And here's what happened. He said, I do not want these false things in between us and God. My question to you today, and my question to me today, am I willing to do that? Am I willing to smash it to bits today? Am I willing to burn it in the fire? Am I willing just to cast it at the feet of Jesus Christ? I love the fact that he didn't just tear down the high places, he also tore down the altars, because it did not leave any room for doubt. See, sometimes what happens is, all right, hey, yeah, I'm going to get rid of this false god and I'm going to give it, but I'm just going to hold on to this little bit right here. And the devil's got a foot in the door. He's got a foot in the door, and we are not able to let go. And so what happens? We remain chained up, not by God addiction, but by false God's addiction. Today, I want you to know something that's really sad. Not only do we have idols in our lives, but we're addicted to them. We're addicted. Yeah, I get it. I know that there's a lot of addiction out there, and that many people struggle with addiction. You know what addiction does? It chains up God. When we're addicted to something, we can't allow God in, and so He's chained out, He's locked out. But it also chains up our family. We're consumed by these substances or whatever it may be, and then it chains up others. Mainly it chains up ourselves. And listen, I don't want you to tune me out because I'm talking about addiction. This is not just a drug and alcohol lesson. By the way, those are addictions. And those can consume people's lives. But folks, I'm talking about other addictions today. Other gods. There's money addiction. If you think there's not a money addiction, then take a look at society around us. It's all about keeping up with the Joneses. It's all about having this and having that. And listen, I'm blessed. You're blessed. We have ways to get around. We have places to stay. We have food to eat, clothes to wear. But sometimes we love money so much that we will sacrifice our families, our worship, our God to gain money. Now, granted, money is required. We must have money to live. But when it becomes our love and our passion, then that means it's in between us and God. And it's not just us in 2019. It's been a problem since Matthew 6:24 and before. But there's also sex addictions. Granted, there is a lot of this going on, and we try to sweep it under the rug, pornography and everything else. And listen, I know we've got young ears in here, but and I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but I'm telling you right now, there is a problem with sex and pornography in the world, in the community, and I guarantee you, even in this church. It is a secret sin, but it is a sin. And I want you to note right now that there are families that are being ruined because spouses are trying to hold the other spouse to the type that you see in the pornographic material. And it's fake and it's not real, but it is a drug. Every time one watches this type of false god, it releases serotonin. And that serotonin is just like if someone was to take a hit of cocaine. And it produces a high. And it is a pleasure chemical that's released. And the more I watch, the better I feel. And it just keeps on and keeps on until it drives a wedge in between God, in between my family, in between everything I do. We need to slay that god today. We need to get it out of our lives. That might mean we need to cut internet off. That's extreme, preacher. We'd never do that. Well, if it costs me my soul, we should. If it costs me my family, we should. Then there are other addictions. There's stuff addictions. People just want things. Let me prove that to you. There's a reason why Walmart is open 24 hours a day. There's a reason. Some people use a shopping buggy as their drug. It becomes something that they've got to have. The world even came up with a fancy phrase called retail therapy. Whatever it is, if it becomes our God, we got to let it go. There's an accomplishment addiction. Promotions. We're addicted to promotions. We're addicted to awards. We're addicted to that pat on the back, that attaboy, that attagirl that gets us high for a moment, and then we desperately look for the next one. There's adrenaline addiction. That's why Red Bull and Monster energy drinks and 6-hour energies and all these things are people are just downing them because they want that hype, that wired feeling. We get a high and then look for the next. There's a food addiction. I'm not trying to step on too many toes today. But people do. They get addicted to food and it becomes their comfort and it becomes what they need. And then we get diabetes and overweight and, you know, we go on and on. But there's one today that I think stands out in today's day and time more than any of it, and it's a social media addiction. It's where we are, right? Again, some of you, like, I don't have a smartphone. I mean, you're probably better off, okay? Now, my smartphone is my office, and so I've got a smartphone, I've got a smart iPad, I've got a whatever, okay? A dumb guy operating them, but the fact of the matter is, and I have social media, okay, I do. But it's becoming such an addiction. We're addicted to the likes. Again, it releases serotonin. Every like, there's a little bit that's released and it's a high and we feel good and somebody liked my status or not enough people like my status. What is wrong with me? You know, 150 people like this one, but only 40 like this one. What has happened to me? And that's where we are. Or it's Instagram pictures or it's, I guess, Snapchat. I don't know. Every time since Justin told us to delete it, I deleted it and I never put it back on. So there's all kinds of stuff out there. And it's happening with our teenagers, but folks, it's carried over. By the way, Facebook at one time was only for colleges. I remember hearing about it when I was still a youth minister and a couple of our college students said it was MySpace back in the day. Remember MySpace? But anyhow, then it became, so they're talking about Facebook and it was a way to social interact between the colleges. And then it became for teenagers. And then adults moved there and of course the teenagers moved out. They went on to something else. But the point of it is, this has become an addictive problem. It's costing us valuable family time. And listen, I'm stepping on my own toes. I have to watch it. I have to watch it. Mine's not necessarily my phone because I can't really see it without my glasses. But I can get my laptop out and I can lose myself in projects, in YouTube videos. I don't really even care to, I mean, I can just watch wood and building, sign building projects all day long and lose track of my kids and lose track. We have too much information sometimes. Whatever your addiction is, we got to slay it today. The Bible, and I told you about these Old Testament prophets, they left us with some information. You want to get rid of it? I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to give you some points today as we close out. The first one comes from Nahum chapter 1. I love it. It's a very simple verse. It says, "Why are you scheming against the Lord? He will destroy you with one blow. He won't need to strike twice." Well, that's strong. I was reading that. I actually have it read to me through the app. And I was reading and that just struck me, no pun intended, it just struck me like, wow. I'm going to come back to these points, I'm going to read them, and then we'll come back to the points, okay? The second one comes from Habakkuk 2. Listen to this. "What good is an idol carved by man, or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a God that can't even talk. What sorrow awaits you who say to wooden idols, 'Wake up and save us'? To speechless stone images you say, 'Rise up and teach us.' Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him." And then the last one comes from Zephaniah chapter 1. "I will crush Judah and Jerusalem with my fist," God's words, not mine, "and destroy every last trace of their Baal worship. I will put an end to all the idolatrous priests so that even the memory of them will disappear. For they go up to their roofs and bow down to the sun, the moon, and the stars. They claim to follow the Lord, but then they worship Molech too." That leads us to our final three points. Number one, God destroys with one blow. Nahum said, why? I mean, He's going to destroy us and He doesn't need twice. He will do it with one. Now, I want to ask you this. How many times have you been trying to destroy that false god in your life? How many times have we tried to get it out on our own and we just, "I'm giving it up today. I'm going to turn things around today. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do it." And then the next day we struggle. And then the next day we struggle. And the next day we struggle. When we finally let go and let God, He... and it's done. One blow. That's how powerful our God is. You want to get rid of it today? Then leave it at the cross today. Jesus didn't have to die twice. He just died once. And that's how we can get rid of that God today. Number two, I want to remind you that God is still in His holy temple. You see, in Habakkuk there, he was talking about these false gods. What are they talking to you? Are they may be overlaid with gold and all these pretty things, but they are lifeless inside. Hey, maybe it's this. There's no money in my wallet, but maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. You know, what else do I have? I don't know. I've got the flash drive. Maybe it's that. There's a mint. Maybe it's mints. Whatever it is. Okay? None of this will get me to heaven. But the one in His holy temple will. I'm telling you right now, it is not worth hell. Give it up to the one in His holy temple today. I do have to have that clicker. Thirdly, said it all along. Zephaniah said, hey, these priests, they go up. They bow down to the sun, the moon, the stars, and Molech. And then on Sunday, we'll use Sunday for us today. They go and worship God. The way that works today is this. This afternoon, I bow down to my false god. Monday, I bow down to my false god. Tuesday, Wednesday night, I come to Bible class. Thursday, I bow down. Friday, Saturday. But on Sunday, I'm back in here again, and I'm bowing down to God Almighty. It doesn't work that way. Our God's a jealous God. He wants you. And He doesn't want to share you. Please forgive me for illustrating this way. I don't want to embarrass her, but I probably will. I want my wife. And I don't want any other wives. And I don't want her to want any other husbands, right? Amen? You want the same with yours? Well, think about God. Hey, I love babies. I love children. I love those who adopt, but I don't want any more kids. I want mine. Okay? Yours can come over, but they've got to go back home. God wants you. The question is, do you want Him? Today, if you're struggling with a false god, slay it. Give it to the one who can strike it with one blow. Today, if you need to surrender your life to Him through the waters of baptism, contact the life-saving, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Do it right now as together we stand and sing.